Hello and welcome. Glad to be back. Thank you for tuning in to That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. I am Gary Van Auken, and I am that guy. Thank you for all the support on the last episode with the great interview with UFC rising star Brock Weaver. That was a lot of fun. Even when he hit me with that rock catchphrase at the end, he got me good. I'll admit it. He got me, and that's okay because there's nothing I can do about it. He was very great. He was personable. Thank you to all the people that are tuning in. And you can continue to find us on the Fight Bananas podcast area, either through iTunes or iHeartRadio. Today's episode is a fun one, and it's probably going to end up being two parts, and that's fine because it's talking about my favorite stipulation in the WWE, and that is Money in the Bank. Now we can argue about, you know, we can have a whole episode and argue about what stipulations are the best, what stipulations are the worst. And a lot of times people will come up with the Royal Rumble, and that might be my favorite match, you know, and it has a very similar stipulation with a world title shot. And so typically the Royal Rumble is a little bit of a cooler match, but you know, the winner comes and then it's announced they, you know, going in, their title shot is the main event at WrestleMania. So that's really cool. The Money in the Bank ladder match concept, one that was, that began in 2005, you know, is the idea that there is a world title match contract in this briefcase. You got to climb the ladder, pull it down, and then anytime within a year, you get to cash it in to for an attempt to become the world heavyweight champion. Now, when the concept was invented in 2005, and you got to give credit to Chris Jericho, he was the one credited with coming up with the idea, and it was first contested at WrestleMania 21 in Los Angeles. It seemed like a cool idea, but I don't think any of us knew going into that what that really and truly meant. You know, we thought, all right, cool. They've got the match, like a number one contenders match is kind of what it was explained to us as. And we didn't truly understand what it meant to have that briefcase and to be able to cash it in any place, any time. Now, today we're going to discuss some of the matches itself. And I feel like the reason why I'm saying it's probably going to take me two episodes is because today is going to be like climbing the ladder and winning that briefcase. And that's a whole thing in itself, talking about the match, talking about who won, who maybe should have won. But then when it comes to the cash in, that's a whole nother thing. And that's what makes this concept so good. The ability for it to be cashed in anytime, anywhere. It's created and caused some of the greatest highlights in WWE history. So, let's dive right into it. Let's start talking about the match itself. And again, the first one was at WrestleMania 21, and I was fortunate enough to be in attendance live. That was the second WrestleMania that me and my brothers got to go to. It was awesome. It was an awesome match full of Hall of Famers. With the exception of he who shall not be named in the lore of WWE. The roster of that match was Edge, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Shelton Benjamin, Kane, and Christian. I think they made the right call with Edge, and you didn't like realize how good. We all knew Edge and Christian were a great tag team. We knew that they both had, they had something special, but that win of that Money in the Bank ladder match and then the eventual cash-in, which we'll talk about later, is what really started to propel Edge to his, you know, level of near all-time greatness. Now, going into that match, there were a lot of people that could have won. A lot of, you know, everybody in that match, with the exception of Shelton Benjamin, went on to become a world heavyweight champion of some kind. Shelton Benjamin is still, you know, he was definitely a very decorated wrestler. He's won multiple belts in his career. So yeah, it was just, it was a good solid match. You know, it was only a 15 minute match. It wasn't, you know, they didn't overdo it. They didn't overdo the spots. There were, you know, so a few good ones. And then, yeah, Edge winning. That was, it was just a good moment. It was a good match. And at that time it was all Raw brand competitors. Eventually, you know, they split them up or brought them back together. And that the format of that match had changed throughout the years. Now, the first five of the Money in the Bank matches were all took place at WrestleMania. The first six took place at the first at WrestleMania's. And it was a great concept, and it was a great way to add to get a lot of these other guys on the card who maybe weren't necessarily in a big match, and you can call it a big match. It was a big deal, and so you were able to shove, you know, five, six, seven competitors depending on the year, and get them into a nice WrestleMania match, a WrestleMania moment. Now, the next year in Detroit, this was, again, part of a three-year stint that me and my brothers were able to attend live at WrestleMania 22 in Detroit. This one included Bobby Lashley, Finlay, Ric Flair, Shelton Benjamin, Matt Hardy, and Rob Van Dam. It's amazing how many of these people are still like active performers and involved. You know, Flair and Finlay aren't active wrestlers anymore, but Flair still appears, and Finlay was until recently working behind the scenes. So, you know, once you get into that wrestling business, it's so hard to get out of it. But yeah, so that was, you know, that was definitely a not as decorated of a crowd, of a lineup. You know, with the inclusions of, you know, Finlay and, well, Bobby Lashley, we can have a nice conversation about him on where we think he belongs. But definitely, RVD was the eventual winner of that match. He did put that title or that briefcase up, on the line the following month, if I am not mistaken, against Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, RVD was an established star already. Not so much in the WWE. I mean, he was more of an ECW guy, so it was a little bit different as opposed to Edge being an up and coming WWE star to give that belt to RVD. I mean, to give that briefcase to RVD, it was a fine decision. And again, when we get into the cash-ins, they were 2-for-2 with these first two, but we'll talk about the differences between Edge and RVD's cash-in attempts on the second part of this. Now, the following year in was WrestleMania 23. Now, oh, actually, you know what? I made a mistake. 22 was in Chicago. 23 was in Detroit. WrestleMania 23, the lineup included Randy Orton, Matt Hardy, Finlay, King Booker, CM Punk, Jeff Hardy, Edge, and Mr. Kennedy. This was a jam-packed, crowded. This one had eight superstars, whereas the first one had six. The second one, the first two had six in them. So they decided to cram a couple more wrestlers in there, which was fine. You know, if you get any more than eight, you're kind of pushing it, I think, because, you know, people will get lost in the shuffle and lots of spots where guys get hit and then they like do that thing where they hide up against the rails. But this moment, this win, I think, of the first three, while Edge and RVD were both bigger names, both had significantly better careers. That moment when Mr. Kennedy, he was trending in such an upward direction. And that win, and he pulled that briefcase down, and he was able to lower the mic and give his Mr. Kennedy. I mean, the place really, really ate it up, and they really enjoyed it. And, you know, he seemed at the time like he was destined for big things. He was definitely trending very much upwards. It was super, super cool to be there to hear that Mr. Kennedy. And he just laid into it. And he dragged it out, and the fans ate it up. Now that match was twice as long as the previous year. It was a 24-minute match, and with eight guys in the match, you know, you kind of expect it to be a little longer, and that was fine. It needed that. And then now the next two, 24 and WrestleMania 24 and WrestleMania 25, the first time we had a back-to-back winner. And it's amazing to me to think that it was CM Punk both years. It almost felt like a disappointment. Like he wasn't there yet. We all know what heights he was able to propel himself to. It seemed like a little bit of, you know, just didn't have the same excitement. And especially when he won it the second time, you know, it was a surprise having him win it once, and then an even bigger surprise to have him win it a second time. Now, he did it the first time competing against Mr. Kennedy, Chris Jericho, Shelton Benjamin, Carlito, John Morrison, and MVP. And in one of, I would say, you know, a little bit of a weaker lineup. And then the following year against Christian, Shelton Benjamin, Kane, Finley, MVP, Kofi Kingston, and Mark Henry. So it seemed like the lineups for those 2 years a little bit weaker than in years past. But, you know, again, back-to-back winners, it's something that you can look back now and, you know, if he was still around, it's something he could call up on and say the only two-time or back-to-back, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, it was what it was. Now the following year in 2010 we had three Money in the Bank matches, cause it was the last first, we had the last one held at WrestleMania 26. And this was won by Jack Swagger. This was another one that you understood why, he's big. He's athletic. He's got a good background. He has a lot of the physical tools, and you're seeing it now, you know, with him in AEW. Like, he has a little bit, he has the look, and he has the size, and he has the ability. He just doesn't have the it factor, and I don't know if he ever did. I mean, it was great chanting "We the People." He had a good catchphrase. He had a good thing. You know, and when you're fighting for the country, it's kind of hard to not cheer for a guy. But it was just kind of a little bit of a letdown when he won. It was like, okay, it happens. And so, as I mentioned, there were three Money in the Bank matches that year because they finally decided to shift it away from WrestleMania and give it its very own pay-per-view. Now, some people complain and wish that, hey, it should be at WrestleMania. And I am perfectly fine. It's like I said, I think it's the coolest stipulation. I think it's the biggest deal, and I'm glad that it has its very own pay-per-view. Now, there's a lot more options. The reason they started doing it in 2010 is because they had the brand split. So you were able to have two distinct individual, you know, you had a SmackDown match and you had a Raw match. So you were able to put two onto the same card. And that happened for a while. Eventually, they brought it back together, and then a few years later, we started having the women's matches. So again, it is easily a match that can support the, you know, having its own pay-per-view. I'm not always sure that like Hell in a Cell and things like that need its own pay-per-view, because that seems kind of forced. Like, you have to force a rivalry into a Hell in a Cell. But Money in the Bank can happen anytime. It can be its own thing. It can happen any place. You know, you just, superstars, you earn that spot, get in that match, and it can really propel somebody. Now, that first one, that first pay-per-view, it was an interesting one because, you know, you see the idea of them trying to use it on younger, up-and-coming, on-the-rise wrestlers. You're trying to put Jack Swagger and CM Punk over. You're trying to put Mr. Kennedy, and like I said at the time, put an Edge really over. And so for the SmackDown briefcase at that first pay-per-view was won by Kane, who obviously was an older, already established wrestler. And it's sometimes you just need that, I think. Sometimes you need to, like, remind everybody that just because a guy's established, like, they can still win. You know what I mean? We sometimes look at the card and we think to ourselves, all right, it's got Christian, Matt Hardy, Big Show, Ziggler, Kingston, McIntyre, Rhodes. Like, we look at these guys, we're like, you start picking through these up-and-coming guys that, you know, really could use it. And then you're like, you just automatically tune out and say, like, no, Kane's not going to win it and Big Show's not going to win it. Like, these guys are past. They don't need that match. And then they win it and you're like, oh, I forget. Anything can happen in the WWE. And so that was, you know, I'm okay with it every once in a while. Like, maybe in that moment, it was kind of like, eh, again, Kane. Like, we've already seen Kane win stuff. But, you know, to look back and put that onto his resume, that's fine. The Raw one, they kept the format going. They gave it to The Miz. And I think that really and truly helped propel him. I think to this day he's still underappreciated. He at the time, I think a lot of people were almost angry that he won that match. He, you know, was still known more as the MTV guy, the wannabe wrestler. And so it's you know, at the time it was definitely a disappointment to many. I think he needed that. They needed to show everybody that no, he's legit. He's for real. We're gonna keep him around. We're gonna give him a chance. And I think he deserved it. So now the following year, we still had the brand split going. So we had the Money in the Bank pay per view in 2011. We had the SmackDown Money in the Bank card that had Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, Sin Cara, Sheamus, Cody Rhodes, Kane, Wade Barrett, and Daniel Bryan. So this one, I remember going into that one thinking it's very limited. I really thought Wade Barrett was a likely winner. I never felt like Heath Slater or Justin Gabriel or Sin Cara, I never bought into them as being the guys. Kane had won it the year before. I don't know if Sheamus was quite there yet. So the options were definitely limited. I was a little surprised when Daniel Bryan won. I remember watching, I remember the crowd really loved it. And they were, you know, they were starting to see semblances of him, his greatness, him, his personality. He was finally able to start like exuding some of that at the time, you know, like bad guy energy. He was like this annoying, pompous little guy, but he obviously has gone on to become a Hall of Famer. He's done the most. He's fought through and gotten earned himself opportunities that, you know, that many people weren't sure he was going to be able to get. So yeah, it ended up being a good thing. I'm glad he won it. I was very surprised by it. And on the Raw side of things, it was Alex Riley, Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston, R-Truth, Jack Swagger, Rey Mysterio, The Miz, and Alberto Del Rio, who eventually went on to win that match. Now, he is something of an enigma to me. I think he's quite good. Like, he knows how to play a good villain. He knows how to be a pompous, arrogant, you know, ass almost. He has, you know, his peaks were of winning the 40 man Royal Rumble, his peaks of winning Money in the Bank, his peaks of being a world champion. Like, he's been able to elevate himself to deservingly win some, you know, real accomplishments, but somehow he also has found a way to, like, I don't know if it's burning bridges or getting bland or whatever the case may be. Like, he's got some kind of roller coaster of a career he's had. He comes, he goes, he's exciting, he's boring. It's just really hard to figure out. But yeah, so he's got a long list of accomplishments in the WWE and including that Money in the Bank championship. Now, the next year, 2012, there were There were also two. There was a World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank briefcase and a WWE Championship briefcase. Now, the WWE Championship match featured John Cena, Chris Jericho, The Miz, Kane, and The Big Show. So it only had five wrestlers, all who had previously been WWE champions. And that was, you know, that was John Cena winning that one. I don't know if this was just a case, and we'll talk about his cash in on the next episode. But this was a case of, I mentioned earlier, of sometimes of just getting an established star, just kind of checking off another box on their Hall of Fame resume. You know, obviously John Cena never needed at this point in his career to win a Money in the Bank ladder match. But you know what? Again, you have two on the show. It's fine. You put all the established guys in one. You put the up-and-coming guys in the other. And, you know, it is what it is as far as, you know, him winning it. And then the other one was won by Dolph Ziggler. He definitely deserved to win that. We'll talk about his cash-in because it's one of the great moments in WWE history, one of the loudest crowd reactions. We'll talk about that on part two. So make sure you tune back in to hear the cash-in episode of Money in the Bank briefcases. And that the card for that one, or the lineup for that one, was Santino, Tensai, Sin Cara, Tyson Kidd, Christian, Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, and, of course, Dolph Ziggler. So, yeah, much different, you know, set of wrestlers, ones that really could have all used that win to propel themselves. And then, obviously, like I said, the other one was all the established guys. Now, in 2013, this is our last year of having two men's matches on the same pay-per-view. And the World Heavyweight Champion has been discussed recently because it was one that Cody Rhodes apparently was supposed to win, and it was changed right before the show. And so the lineup included Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Jack Swagger, Fandango, Cesaro, and Damian Sandow. And apparently, the story is Cody Rhodes was supposed to win. They changed it right before the show, and Damian Sandow ended up being victorious. He became the Mr. Money in the Bank. And Cody called it a blessing. It helped shape him to what he is, you know, the man he became today. I wish it would have been the same blessing for Damian Sandow. He's another guy who was able to take crappy gimmicks and turn it into gold. They seemed to try and want to bury him numerous times, and every time he turned what they were doing with him into greatness. I don't know what the issue was with the management and Damian Sandow. I thought he was very talented performer. You know, it was good that he won this match. He wasn't able to capitalize on it. And it's unfortunate because he probably could have had a much better career and a differently shaped career, you know, if he was treated differently. And the other match, as I mentioned, there were still two on this pay-per-view in 2013. It was the WWE Championship one, included Randy Orton, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Christian, Sheamus, and RVD. Now, I remember being very, very much into wanting CM Punk, even though he had already won twice, and wanting Daniel Bryan to win, even though he had already won. I was very much rooting for those guys, and this was one of the longer matches. It was a 28-minute match, almost a half-hour match, and it ended up being won by Randy Orton. And this was kind of the time in their career where it was like him and John Cena were just, like, winning stuff. And, you know, deservedly so. They are two, you know, elite, great talents, two of the best ever. And, you know, I kind of feel like Randy, you know, took a little pull backstage and was like, hey, John won it last year. You know, I want to make sure I win it this year. And I kind of feel like that's what happened on that one. You know, he just there are times he kind of builds up momentum and then he kind of hides in the grass for a while. That's the kind of MO of his career. He just kind of, there are times he coasts and times he turns it on. And when he turns it on, he's great. But he, I don't know if he does that consciously or subconsciously, but you know, I don't think he was definitely wasn't a favorite in that match. But you know, he won. And of course, again, added that to his Hall of Fame legacy. Now the 2014 Money in the Bank match, this was, so we were back to having it, having only the one match, on the pay-per-view. It was Dean Ambrose, RVD, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, and Seth Rollins. And I've noticed as I've been reading through some of these names that you definitely, there's a lot of names that you do hear quite a few times. It definitely fits a more agile and athletic wrestler. You definitely want wrestlers that can hit spots and do fun things. Sometimes you do need, you know, it's okay to have a bigger guy, a Big Show, a Kane, a Mark Henry. You know, it's okay to have a muscle or, you know, big guy like that. But oftentimes it works out best when you can fit, you know, have more of these more athletic guys in there. And then that was Seth Rollins winning that match. And that was, again, this, sometimes when done correctly, this match can truly propel somebody into the next level of their career. And that's exactly what happened with Seth Rollins and his eventual cash-in. And we'll talk about that on the next episode. Again, stay tuned. Next episode for That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. We are going to talk about all of the cash-ins. There's just so much to get into with Money in the Bank. It's so good. Such a good concept. So, yeah, that was, you know, that was well-deserved, well-received. And then 2015 was one that, I don't know. Like, all right. So let's first mention the wrestlers in it. We had Dolph Ziggler, Kane, Sheamus, Kofi, Neville, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns. Now, Sheamus went on to win that match, and he, you know, he has a long list of accomplishments. He's, you know, world champion, multi-time tag team champion, Money in the Bank winner. He's done a lot of wonderful things. Like, he's just a very solid, solid wrestler. It's just, he's not exciting. You know what I mean? Like, he has that, like, you know, it's like you like the guy and you need the guy and you enjoy having him around. But, you know, when you get the one Money in the Bank match for the whole year, and for Sheamus to be the one that wins it, you're like, okay. You know, you kind of like kind of disappointed a little, and you know, it is what it is. You know, you can't have the hottest guy, your favorite guy, win every match. Otherwise, you know, it would make those, some of those wins less special if you just got to literally pick every time. So yeah, he was not the one you would pick. Now in 2016, on the other hand, it was Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, and Alberto Del Rio. And at the time, you know, Dean Ambrose was the one that eventually won that match in Las Vegas. I got to, again, see that one live on my 10th wedding anniversary. Went to Vegas to watch wrestling. So, yes, I have a pretty cool wife that allows me to plan things like that. Yeah, Dean Ambrose was, you know, he was part of the Shield. He was just, he needed something to get him over to, as far as like put him in the main event scene truly. And this was it. He won. It was, again, that was a very well received match. As far as, you know, the fans were definitely behind him. Now in 2017, we started adding the women into it, and I'm kind of surprised it took that long. But hey, it is what it is. The women finally started getting their opportunity, and we'll talk about that one. Because the first one they had to do it twice, and it's unfortunate that they give the women this wonderful opportunity, give Charlotte, Becky, Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella this wonderful match. And then you have James Ellsworth come along, who was Carmela's manager at the time, and retrieve the briefcase and drop it down to her. So it was like, yay, you've got a for women's match, a first time women's Money in the Bank match, and a man won it. Like, that was beyond questionable and completely unnecessary. They ended up having the rematch on SmackDown, shortly thereafter, and then Carmella won, which is fine. You know, she should have won. I don't think anybody had any objection to her winning the match. It was just the way that it was won at the time. So, between that and Baron Corbin winning for the men, that was probably one of the more disappointing Money in the Bank pay-per-view, pay-per-views because of that. You know, again, you had a man winning the women's match, and then the men's lineup included AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, literally everybody else you would want to win. And you had that first stare down between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, which, brought a great crowd reaction. And then, for Baron Corbin to come in and win that match was very much a huge letdown. 2018, they kind of righted the wrong a little bit. It was Alexa Bliss winning the women's match, and I'm a huge Alexa Bliss fan. I think she's phenomenal. I think it's great how she kind of, like, she didn't get any real accolades or opportunities when she was in NXT, and then kind of showed up on the main roster and showed how wonderful she is. And she won that one. That was exciting. That was a good moment. And then Braun Strowman won the men's match. He was definitely favored to win. It seemed like he should win because he was just, at the time being built like an unstoppable monster. And even though, like, the lineup was really good, it had Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Kofi, and Samoa Joe. They were all, like, it all seemed like they were trying to just single-handedly stop Braun Strowman and couldn't. But they kind of failed on his capitalization after that, and we will discuss that on the next episode. The 2019, last year's Money in the Bank match, again, we had a men's match and a women's match. And I don't know, we'll start with the women's match. It was won by Bayley, which is fine because she is excellent. It had Carmella, Ember Moon, Mandy Rose, Nikki Cross, Naomi, Dana Brooke, and Natalya. And it seemed like, for a lot of the first and a lot of the big women's matches, they kind of keep spreading the opportunity around to the same few women. But at the time, it was fine that she won it that evening. And then the men's match, this might leave a lot of people divided. I am firmly on the anti-Brock Lesnar train. He was not even in the match. The match originally included Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, Ali, Finn Balor, Andrade, and Randy Orton. And then, they decided at the end to throw Brock Lesnar in and have him climb the ladder and win the match. Now, I know we got that gave us the moments of Brock Lesnar using the briefcase like a boombox, and that was funny, and I get that. That was, ha ha ha, hilarious. But this was a clear case of him not needing to win that match. He doesn't need to win any more matches as far as I'm concerned, but clearly they're paying him a lot of money, so they're going to keep allowing him to win matches that most people don't seem to want him to win. So that's the rundown of all the Money in the Bank matches. And like I said, I had to divide this up into two parts because here we're a half hour in and I haven't even talked about the cash-ins, but I will. So please come back to the second part of our Money in the Bank cash-in special. This will lead you right up into the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view that's coming up, Climbing the Corporate Ladder. I'm looking forward to that and seeing how that turns out. Thank you guys again for continuing to subscribe to the That Guy's Wrestling Podcast under the Fight Bananas umbrella. Please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, like my page on Facebook, just be nice. Just click that little like, click that little subscribe. It's not that hard, even if you don't listen to it, but you should. Just hit that like, hit that subscribe. So that's it. I am done with this part. I will be back for part two of my Money in the Bank discussion. And I am tapping out.